Hello, friends. Caleb here, coming at you from his happy place. What is my happy place? Well, it's being hunched over a desk in the basement, breathing soldering iron fumes, and you know, you walk downstairs, and I like turn my head at you like I'm spooked and haven't seen somebody in 24 hours, and my hair is standing up. That's my happy place. And that was a real place for me growing up. Like, I remember the first time when I really got addicted to this, I was like a pretty young kid and I was over at my cousin's house. And just, I probably told you these stories, but whatever. For those of you who are new here, I like, these are formative stories for me. We did a sleepover at my cousin Steven's house, and his mom took us to the dollar store beforehand, or not before, you know, whatever, like that day. And we picked out, you know what? It might've even been a thrift store, but I remember like our goal was to get stuff that moved because it means that it had a motor in it. And I remember that being like a really crazy thing. Like Steven was just like, yeah, you just got to find anything that moves and then it'll have a motor in it. And then we'll like make like a battle bot out of it or something. And I was like, what? So I remember we found this like little toy and we bought a few things and then we went back to his house. And in his basement, like, tore the things apart, like, got a screwdriver, pulled the things apart, found, you know, the battery, the two wires, and the motor, because most of these were just that simple. Found the motor and then, like, ended up taping it to our own batteries, like, would pull the motor out. And I remember, like, specifically taping nails to the head of the motor so that it would just, like, spin around a nail, like, this kind of dangerous thing. Like, we made a battle bot, you know? Anyway, that was huge for me. That was, like, just sheer bliss. And that sort of started me on a journey. And maybe the peak of it was maybe in high school or middle school. I was in my parents' house that I used to live in. And in the basement, I created my own little dungeon. And it really started with, I went to a White Elephant sale with my mom. And which is a bizarre thing, by the way. It was just this massive sale in a church's basement. And people just donate tons of stuff. And by the time I got to the sale, it was like the last day, it was a bag sale. So you would pay $5 and get a garbage bag, a big garbage bag. So I had this big old black garbage bag. I paid $5. I was with my mom and she went with it. And I just went around stuffing this thing with electronics because they had electronics. So I remember grabbing like, you know, simple things like mouses, keyboards, stuff like that, like old hard drives, old disk drives, entire like old laptops, like speakers, sound stuff, cables galore, just all sorts of stuff. And I put it all in a bag and I brought it home. And this like started my obsession. I probably started before this, but I remember this is just bliss for me. These are some of the happiest memories. I laid it all out on the basement floor and I was just in heaven amongst all of this junk. And so over the course of like a few years, I carved out my own little like layer downstairs where I just had stacks of old PCs whenever I could get them. And a lot of this stuff, yeah, like, I mean, I have even earlier memories of like inheriting the old computer from my school. One time, I mean, I probably told you this story, but I like stole laptops that the school was kind of donating or throwing out. We did like a heist senior year. It was so dumb. I don't know why I did it, but like in the middle of the night, we rolled up with a truck, took a bunch of laptops and like drove away, which was really dumb. And then I had a stack of like 14 clamshell MacBooks that had like marker all over it saying it was, you know, my high school property, my high school. It wasn't theirs. Like they were old and they were donating it, but we decided to take them and try to hack them and whatever. Anyway, so this, yeah, like long, obviously this is a long arc throughout my childhood, whatever. So I'm telling you about this layer. And in this layer, it was just me and a soldering iron. I never like bought anything. So if I needed a piece, I would unsolder it from a board. So I just had stacks of boards and be like, oh, I need some capacitor or I need like a resistor that's this many ohms. And I had the whole resistor color code thing like written out on the wall, like a poster. And then I physically wrote in marker, it's probably still on my parents' wall, I physically just wrote down all the electrical formulas that I needed, you know, like V equals IR kind of stuff, and just like wrote it all out. And I just had a ball and I would make toys and make little stupid synthesizer-y type things, just no rules, hacking. You know, I messed with some Arduinos and some like LED cubes and projects and whatever. And I breathed in like way too many soldering fumes, but it really was my happy place. And it was just a pigsty, an absolute pigsty, just piles and heaps of electronics. And I would get home from school and I would go downstairs and it was my favorite part of the day. And I would just revel in this pile of stuff. So anyway, I'm feeling maybe something along those lines today. Normally my life is a little more tidy than that, and I can't just do whatever I want to do every day. But today kind of feels a little like that, at least in the disorganized, adventurous way. And what do I mean by this? Well, I'm doing two things that are kind of dangerous, if you will. I'm jacking up my house, or preparing to, and I am doing a live data migration on the Livewire documentation site. In fact, I'm watching it go up right now. And actually, I just hit 1,000 users migrated. So now I have to rerun that command from 1,000 to 2,000, or 1,001 to 2,000. So this is pretty janky. I'm running a command manually that locally is running, but it's attached to my live database, like on the server. So I have an SSH tunnel into the live database and I'm running a data migration. Oh my gosh, like where do we even start with this whole mess? It's just like, oh, saga after saga. I mean, I could bore you for a half an hour on all the ridiculous things that have taken place for me to get to where I am right now. But I'll start with this morning. I got a support email that people were getting these Cloudflare errors because of a 504 timeout on the server. So I go, oh, 504 timeout. Okay, let's dig into this. All right, CPU load's about 100%. You know, run HTOP on the server. CPU load's 100%. That's not good. I look in Pulse and I see some slow like requests, but it's not every request is slow. I use the site. The site seems fine, but I'm getting it too. Every once in a while, I get this Cloudflare error, but other times it's a pretty much fine. And I'm trying to like pin it down. Like, what specifically is this? I already have done a ton of optimization. I've done a bunch of query optimization. Here's the root of all evil in the Livewire documentation site is the screencast progress. My gosh, by gosh, by golly, when somebody said, you should track the watch progress so that I can return to a screencast that I half watched and know that I half watched it and track which screencasts are complete or not. Okay, yeah, no problem. Sure, I'll do that. Oh my gosh, big mistake. So many problems have existed with this system since day one. It's just problem after problem. And then you think you're finally there, but your architecture that you used for storing screencast progress has resulted in a database or table with millions of records inside of it. And okay, so add a bunch of indexes. That fixes a ton of stuff. Remove all the N plus one, you know, queries that were fine before, but now after a million results, they're not fine. Do all that optimization. I probably even talked to you about all that stuff. So it's like pretty good. But I'm looking at how many times eloquent models are just even instantiated. Like just colon, colon, not even colon, colon. Just they're instantiated and booted. And it's like hundreds and hundreds of times per page because of the stupid nav bar that has all the, okay. And there's so many soft ways to solve this. Like, do I need to render every single screencast on the entire site on every screencast page? Like you go to Laracast, you only see the ones for that series, you know? Yeah. Okay. I could solve it with that, but I can't really make that change without like, you know, figuring out what a new user interface would be that would support that and having some sort of browser for series. So that's kind of off the table. I need to solve the problem in front of me right now. Okay, maybe I could throw some caching at it. But again, it's not really a data layer problem. It's like a memory CPU problem. Okay, I also thought that I introduced dynamic social images using ImageMagick or Imagick or whatever last week. And I wasn't even caching them because I figured, you know, they don't render on every single visit, only when you share it or something crawls it. So I just left it. And so just to be safe, I added some caching around that. So this is me today. I'm hunched over the desk with the soldering iron fumes just blowing at my face as I'm trying different things live. I end up using Blackfire. I'm like, all right, let's sign up for Blackfire. $200, add it to Forge, load it up, start profiling requests, drill down, find the bottlenecks. Where's the code slow? What's it taking a bunch of time on? Learn how to use Blackfire, blah, blah, blah. All right, I think we need a new strategy. Instead of storing, every time you watch a video right now, the progress gets logged in a single row in a table called Screencast Progress. And it's the total of seconds that you watched, and then also if you completed it or not. So every screencast you ever watch gets a row in that table. Well, I want to change that so that you as a user get one row in one table total. And then I just have like a JSON field or something. So I end up going down this whole road of making a custom schema to serialize your watch progress in as short as I can possibly get it, so that maybe I can store and mutate it on the front end in local storage and only persist it to the back end like once every hour or something. You know, there's so many different strategies, and that's just been the whole day. It's just figuring out the best strategy. And what I'm actually doing right now is a live data migration where I have a new schema that I'm going to use that's JSON column. So I have a new table. I migrated it. I ran the migration locally with the SSH tunnel for production, and now I'm doing the whole data migration locally so that I'm not like blowing up PHP FPM on the server. I'm just blowing up my own machine, and it's just taking, you know, it's reading to and from the database. So I'm doing this all locally, and then eventually, after this part is done, I will have migrated all of the existing user data over to the new system, but also currently, I added in code so that I'm writing to the old system and the new system. So new stuff, as you're watching, if you go and watch a live or screencast right now, when this launches, because I always publish these right when I record them. If you go watch right now, you will have written to two different database tables, the old one and the new one. And currently right now, I'm migrating all the old data. I'm backfilling all the old data from the old table to the new table. And then when this is done, after 21,000 users, which I'm only at 1500, so this is going to probably take all day. I could find a way to optimize this, I'm sure, and do this much faster, but you know, that's what this is. It's a constant trading off of things. So anyway, once that's done, then I can pull out, this is zero downtime data migration. You know, I don't want to just like shut the site down and tweak it all. I want to just do it in place. And that's really easy when you are surfing like I am. And by that, I mean, I can do whatever I want. I've told you Jason Beggs is rolling his eyes right now, but I don't have a deploy script at all. When I deploy to the LiveWire docs, I Peter levels it. I'm more sophisticated than him because I use Git. He probably uses Git now. But I straight up, I just like push to main, I SSH in, and I Git pull, and that's it. If I change some Tailwind, I know that I need to NPM run dev, you know, or NPM run build, and I'll do that. Because it's only me, so I can surf, you know? So something like this is surfing. I'm constantly like SSH tunneling into my live database and changing over my local app to the live production app to test things, to mess with things, to even do data migrations, which I've never thought would be something I could do, but I can. You don't have to put all the data migration code on the server. You do if you have a more formal process, but you can just keep it locally and have this migration script run on your local machine and just target your database. And while I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, I probably need a database backup before I do this. So no problem. I'll, you know, just make a backup. How do you make a backup? MySQL dump. Okay, how do I MySQL dump through SSH tunnel? Okay, blah, blah, blah. You know, all right, so I got the backup. So at least if everything goes wrong, I have a backup from about noon today that I could re-import and we'll be fine. So like the world's not going to end, you know? So that's the thing. Like this could be a dangerous thing. I could really mess this up in some way, but I put in a few fail safes to make sure that that's not the case. But this is what I'm doing. I'm shooting from the hip. I'm using my brain and I'm just dancing around right now in this problem slurry. It's not the most efficient thing to do, but that's the thing. I'm not working for a company right now, so I don't have to be on my best behavior. I try to be on my best behavior for myself most days, but today is not one of those days. Today is a just throw the gloves off and run into the fray of problem solving bliss. Problem solving bliss, yes. Okay, so that's what's going on technically right now. There's probably a bunch of other fun things to talk about with that, but I don't know. You're bored of that. Let's talk about jacking up my house. I could make this a separate episode, but I'm going to keep it in this one right now. So similarly, I'm about to jack up my house and hopefully not jack up my house. You see what I did there? So again, old house, you know about that. I'm working on an attic renovation. Problem. The attic floor is sloped. I ripped up the old floor. I'm just looking at it. I'm like, man, it's just sloped. I run a string. Okay. This is so much like, it's so funny. I'm describing to you a problem in the technical world and now in the physical world, and it's just so similar. I'm trying to diagnose the problem in the technical world, and I have easy metrics. And then to get more advanced, you know, visibility into the problem, you level up, you use Pulse, you SSH in, then you you start looking at PHP FPM logs, Nginx logs, then that's not doing it. All right, we got to go to Blackfire, you know? So physically, this is a similar thing. You kind of eye it and you go, yeah, that floor is a little sloped. All right, well, let's get some more intel on that. Where is it sloped? What angle is it sloped? How far does it dip? How do we learn that? Okay, I can snap a string. I can pull a string line from one end to the other and see the distance from the floor to the string at its lowest point. Okay, it's about an inch and a half. That's not great. And that is over a short span, just like a third of the house has that dip. The rest is fine. All right, go into the basement. Where's the cause of this problem? There's a beam. The beam's a little rotted and it's a little sagging. And I don't know the history here. There's a lot of mystery. I don't really know. But my beam across my house is a big rectangle. And there's one beam that goes right through the middle. And the floor joists, those are the things, if you're in the basement and you look up and you see all those wooden timbers where the floor lays on top of those are floor joists. So the floor joists are continuous across the width of the house. And there's one beam in the middle. And that keeps them up so that they don't sag, obviously. Because if that wasn't there, I don't know what would happen. I kind of want to know, because it's not like an impossibility that... hold on, I got to run the new migration. 1974 to 3000. I don't know. I wonder if there's a timeout on this. I'm going to go for 4000 and just see what happens. All right. Just in the time we've talked, we've done about 1,000 users migrated, you know? How productive is that? I think it did time out. That was the problem. Okay. Anyway, back to what I'm saying, folks. Yeah. So this, I should kind of know what happens if there's no beam in the middle and it just, the floor sag, like, does it just sag really bad and mess up the house, or does like the house cave in? I kind of need to know that, or want to know that. But anyway, there's a beam down the middle. Okay. And that beam is split in two, pretty much in the center. The one side is properly supported and is great. The other side, though, other beam, has a sag in the middle because I think some water damage, I think a missing post. You don't really know. A lot of this is like guessing and inspecting and speculating on what has happened in this house, you know, over 100 something years for things like this to happen. Like, who decided to remove that thing? Was it ever there? If it wasn't, why wasn't? Why is this sagging? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I need to jack it up. You can't just jack up a house. You can't just, well, so you kind of can. You can get a jack from like Lowe's. They're called bottle jacks. They're hydraulic jacks, kind of like the one for your car, except there's no like cantilever like your car has. It's just like a 2 liter that you jack and like something spits out the top, like a hydraulic piston kind of thing, and just pushes up. And they come in like 6, 12, 20, 30, 40, 50 ton, you know, increments. I got a 20 ton, hoping that's enough. And you basically, you could sit this bottle jack in your basement on the floor and then put a beam on top of it. And so ideally a 6x6. I bought a 4x4 yesterday at Lowe's. I need to go and get a 6x6 because I don't think that's enough. And my buddy Mitch recently jacked up his house and he's doing wild stuff, absolutely wild. He jacked up his house and just sistered two 2x4s together. And sistering just means, you know, nail them together. And it started to like buckle. Super not chill. So I'm going to get a 6x6. You could take a hydraulic bottle jack, throw it on the floor, put a 6x6 on top of it, and then literally jack up a beam in your house. And it will level out your floor if your floor is sagging. And it'll push up every floor on top of that floor. So your first floor will be level, your second floor will be level, and your third floor, in my case, the attic. Right. So you can do that too easy. The problem with that is you're going to crack a bunch of stuff. An inch and a half is a lot. So if I just start jacking, apparently I'm going to hear gunshots, basically. And that'll be the plaster of my walls just cracking, like just buckling. Tile. If I have any tile, that stuff's going to start popping up and cracking. I'm going to be cracking tile. If I have pipes that were put in after the sag, they might burst. Even if they were put in before the sag, they likely bent. If they're copper, they bent with the sag. I could be bursting pipes. What else? I could be cracking wood, like structural members. I could crack the beam entirely. So there's so many things that can go wrong. This floor could be attached to the chimney. I'm not trying to jack up the chimney, you know? I'm trying not to. But let's say that there's something attached to the chimney in one of the walls, and I start jacking, I don't realize that. I could be ripping, you know, who knows what out of the chimney or out of the walls. Who knows? Let's run through another scenario if I just start jacking up. There are two extra posts to support where it's actually sagging. So I don't know what happened there. There's two supports there. Let's say I start jacking it up. Those supports are now unsupported, so they fall down. And then my jack gives out because it's not, you know, enough like tonnage, let's say. Let's just say that. Or we'll say this. Hydraulic jacks, they decompress like over time. They only jack up. They don't hold what they jacked up because the fluid like leaks out, whatever. So jack it up and the main posts fall down and now I let it go. And now the beam is totally unsupported, sags way worse, maybe snaps and crushes me. So those are all the things that can go wrong. but how do you avoid? So this is that thing, like you take a database backup beforehand, right? To make sure that even if stuff really hits the fan, you can just use the database backup. So there are some things like that, that I can do to kind of prevent that outcome. One is drill in those support posts, even, you know, they're going to, so they don't fall down on you basically. Another thing, the main thing, the real thing, oh, there's so many more things that can go wrong. Like the beam is already sagged, right? So it's like cupping. It's like a U. So it's been deformed for who knows how long. Maybe it's been sagging for 80 years, maybe 40 years, 50 years, even any of that. That's a long freaking time. And if I just jack it up, it's like stuck. It might not just bend back in the center. The whole U cupping wood might just lift up. And then the higher parts of it on the end might be pushing up my house where it shouldn't be pushed up and could do all sorts of other damage. So there's like ways to measure all this stuff, you know, like I drew a line across from one beam to the other to make sure that it doesn't shift. I'm drawing lines all over the house. I'm drawing lines from like floor joists to the chimney as a point of reference, like the chimney's not going to move. So I'm drawing lines, like making sure that when I jack up, you know, an eighth of an inch on the main beam in the basement, I want to see an eighth of an inch increase in the attic, you know, relative to the chimney. I have a laser level in the basement and I'm going to mark all that to make sure that when I jack up this beam, I want to see an eighth of an inch shift from where the laser level's pointing to where the mark is on the beam. Okay. Those are all the things to do this a little bit better. But all of that to say, That's where I'm. Oh, and the main thing that I have not told you that is like massively essential apparently is how fast you jack it up. So you read a lot, like no more than an eighth of an inch per day, for sure. No more than an eighth of an inch per day. This is how you avoid busting all of your walls. And ideally, some people say like an eighth of an inch a month, or they'll say like a millimeter a month. That is nuts. Homie does not have time for that. So not going to be doing that. But an eighth of an inch, maybe a week, I could probably do. Because what's that? That's like a half an inch a month. That's still pretty freaking slow. Is it? Did I do that right? Yeah. That's a half an inch a month. That's not great. Whatever. If I can get an extra inch out of this, I'll be happy. Should I even be doing this? Probably not. I have no idea. But I'm just rolling up my sleeves and digging in and doing it live. Just using my brain. Just like I'm doing this migration. I've read no guides. I have no real plan. I'm just kind of figuring it out as I go and using my brain. Again, not really what you want to do for, you know, when you're being the most professional boy, but you're just, that's something I love about like doing, like kind of getting yourself in over your head for yourself. It's like pull your engine apart and kind of figure it out as you go. I've actually like really regretted that tendency of mine at times, but there's a lot of times where, you know, it works out. Hopefully this works out and my house doesn't fall on me. I'll see you.